I want to tell you something. There's a lot wrong with that video. Did you notice him? First of all, if you built an ark in that shape, it's going to capsize, okay? You can't build things that way. The boat started to float before the rain started to fall. Where'd the water come from? And after the rain came, did you notice they had windows that were going, there were open windows that were going below sea level. This is a bad idea in an ark. The kangaroos are the same size as an elephant. And there is an elephant, if you watch that video enough times, there is an elephant that has one eye and the second eye magically appears. There's a lot wrong with that video. But you know what's the main thing wrong with that video? Noah did it all by himself, according to that video. Didn't you see it? He got the message from God. And then he went out and he drew the plans for the ark, which may explain why the ark didn't build correctly. And then who was running around with one little hammer, and he constructed an entire ark with one little hammer all by himself. Then it was Noah that got the animals onto the ark, and Noah sailing the boat, and Noah praising God at the end. It was all about Noah. And whoever wrote that video forgot something very, 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 very important. Noah had a wife. As a matter of fact, the sermon series we're doing right now is called A Man Called Noah. But something you're going to find kind of odd, this sermon was the first one written in the series. When I write these things and I put this stuff together, I don't always write them in the order that I present them. The rest of this sermon series was kind of centered around this because I put this sermon in place first because this was supposed to be the Mother's Day sermon and everything else got constructed around it. Because today is not just about Noah, it is a man called Noah and his wife. And in case you're wondering, well, how does that fit with Mother's Day? Well, I need you to remember that Noah had Ham, Shem, and Japheth, so he had three sons who also weren't in that video. But for Ham, Shem, and Japheth to be there, Noah's wife also had to be a mom, so there is happy Mother's Day. And well, today we're going to talk about, I have no other better name to call her, we're going to talk about who is Mrs. Noah. And the reason I don't have much to talk about is because the Bible gives us no information about who this lady is. Now, there is a book out there. It's called the Genesis Rabbah. It's a religious text from Judaism classic period, and it lists her name, Mrs. Noah, as Naamah. Now, that's important because, well, it's important if you want to follow the story that they're telling it, because it creates a connection. It's the Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kind of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Thus, if you take that verse and you put it together chronologically with the ones we skipped in chapter 5 when it told Noah's genealogy, we're actually in the right tier where these two would have met, but guess what? Never actually tells us this is who she is. We've kind of put these pieces together trying to explain who is Mrs. Noah because she doesn't get a name. The Bible doesn't tell us what she looked like, where she came from. All we know is that Noah had a wife. Now, how do we know Noah had a wife? Well, first of all, he had sons. It kind of has to work that way. You don't get sons without a female. It doesn't happen. So Noah had a wife, but the Bible does actually mention Mrs. Noah 5 times. And here they come. Number one, Genesis chapter 6, verse 18 tells us, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you." Genesis chapter 7, verse 7 says, "And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood." Genesis chapter 7, verse 13 says, "On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and wives of his three sons, entered the ark." Genesis chapter 8, verse 16, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons, and their wives. Genesis chapter 8, verse 18. So Noah came out of the ark together with his sons, and his wife, and his wife's sons. And his son's wife. I could do that better. He's going to have one of those days. So when we begin to talk about Mrs. Noah, let's just do a recap. She must have had a very on and off relationship with God, because the only time you see her is she's either getting on the ark, she's coming off the ark, or she's being told to get off of the ark. That is her entire role that we see. Except for in one verse. And it's the verse that I want to kind of use to build our Mother's Day sermon off of. And that verse that I read is Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. So let me read it again and listen very carefully. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. So make no mistake about it. This is a moment. Noah is being called into ministry for God. That's what's happening. But right off the bat, Noah is told this ministry is not about you. As a matter of fact, this ministry is going to impact your sons. And at this point, remember, we're a little bit before the sons got here, so when God's telling them about this, he's probably saying, what sons? They're coming, trust me. And when you have them, your call to ministry is going to impact your sons. Now, not only is it going to impact your sons, someday your sons are going to be married. Okay, what sons? They're coming. Okay? And they will be married, and guess what? This ministry is going to impact your sons' wives. Oh, by the way, Noah, this ministry, it will absolutely, positively impact your wife. Right off the bat, he lets them know, this is going to be a family-style ministry. I also need you to notice something else. This ark, this covenant, did not begin with Noah building the ark. It began with Noah getting on the ark. That's where it began. Building the ark was the kind of necessary, but the covenant began. We talked about this a lot last week when he got on the ark. Building the ark wasn't enough. You got to get on the thing. And as you read that statement, here's the other thing that you notice. The covenant was with everybody on the ark. It wasn't just with Noah. Everybody was part of what was going on there. Noah wasn't living in a bubble. And what I really need us to see, because a lot of times we forget that, the roster of the people that God made the covenant with was 50% male and 50% female. Right down the middle. So this wasn't the guys got the benefits and the ladies were just along for a ride. Yeah, no, it was for everybody. And Noah's wife, she wasn't just lumped in. She was set off all by herself. Noah, you and your wife. See, the reality is, for God's plan to work, there were many things Mrs. Noah was going to have to be. And while this is a sermon that is dedicated toward mothers, these are things that if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have to be all of these things if you're going to grow in this relationship. And so in those things, I would like to tie this back to one of the most popular Mother's Day verses in the Bible. It is found in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. We're not doing them all the verses one by one. You're thankful because I would be here a while. We're going to cherry pick and we're going to jump around and listen for just a few minutes and we're going to talk about all the things that Mrs. Noah had to be if God's plan was going to work. See, today we're talking about the calling of Mrs. Noah. And I love this picture because right off the bat, you know what it is, right? You know what he's saying. I'm king of the world. I got my boat. And Mrs. Noah's saying like, really? Really? Uh-huh. You're king of the world? You've forgotten something. So today we are going to talk about Mrs. Noah and all the things that she was. And the first thing that we discover is that Mrs. Noah, did my batteries just go? Yeah, there they go. All right. Mrs. Noah, well, she had to be sacrificial. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. So I want you to appreciate how this ministry started for Noah. Noah walks in the door and says, honey, God said build a boat. Okay? No, a big boat. A really, really big boat. And honey, God said, let's start a zoo. Okay? And honey, God said we're supposed to go preach to the world now about all the things that are wrong with it. And you know what? I know exactly what Mrs. Noah is thinking at this point. She's thinking, just how many of them grapes did you drink today? You want to build a boat, start a zoo, and preach to the world. What are you talking about? You understand, right from the get-go, Mrs. Noah is going to have to wrap her brain around what's going on, and she's going to have to make some sacrifices for all of this to happen. From the moment God called Noah, Mrs. Noah would have to be called to fill in the gaps. And here's what I mean by that. Noah preached to the world. Who on earth do you think is at home teaching the kids? Yeah, that's Mom. While Noah was out building an ark, who do you think was at home holding down the fort, helping her husband? And by the way, remember, she had three boys growing up together. You put three boys in the house, yeah, you're going to have nothing but chaos. We've got two. I couldn't imagine what a third one would feel like. It's just chaos when you have three boys in a house. And she's going to have to do this because Dad's going to be awful busy. So you know what that means? Not only is she going to have to be sacrificial, she's going to have to be willing to give up part of her life so this ministry is going to happen. She's going to have to be sort of strong. Verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 30, 31 says, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. I don't think Mrs. Noah's contributions to the ark was making curtains for a window. Okay, and she only had one to make curtains for because there was only one. Another thing wrong with the video. There was only one window on that ark. This woman was about to be very, very busy in the ministry. She was going to have to play a major role in what was happening. She was going to have to be primary caregiver to three boys in a world that had gone absolutely mad. Remember? That's how this all started. God said, the world is too sinful. I'm going to have to wash it clean. So she is raising these boys in a crazy world, and she's going to have to be the one because Noah's going to be awful busy building an ark, collecting animals, herding animals, getting them where they're supposed to be. Somebody's got to collect all those food. And that's why I want to point this back to the idea. Noah was called as a family. Not as an individual. Not as Noah, you do all of the work. It was a family calling. That meant that every family member had to have a physical role in what was going on. Trust me, when those boys were big enough to swing a hammer, Noah's kind of like, this is how you put this thing together because we got 100 years of work to do and you boys are going to help build this ark. And you know who was out there with them, right? It was Mom. You don't really think she let them go off to the construction site without Mom being there to make sure they're safe, right? It ain't going to happen. She's right there in the middle of all of this construction. And in the middle of all of this thing, not only is she going to have to be sacrificial, not only is she going to have to be strong, this lady's going to have to be steady. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. This project was going to take somewhere around a century. That's 100 years that they're going to be looking at this ark. That is insane and crazy. They were planning for a one-year voyage. We're going on vacation for about a month, and we're going to go for a week, and we're already starting to think about how much stuff we have to take with us. They were going for a one-year voyage, and they had to pack everything they needed because when they got off the boat, what was going to be left? Nothing. Talk about a lady that's going to have to be kind of organized in what's going on. You see, because her family, they were headed for the storm. We often paint this as kind of a fairy tale with a happily ever after, but folks, this wasn't a fairy tale. This was life. They were going to be trapped in a confined space for 1 year. Now everybody think back to your COVID moments. How many days did it take you being confined to your house before you were going stir crazy? You're like, I've got to go do something, even if it's against the law at this point. They were going to be trapped in that ark for a year as it bobbed along with the rain coming down for 40 days and 40, and then they had to, yeah, this wasn't just a month. All the water had to go somewhere before they got off. They are going to be in that boat for a year. There were going to be awful days that go by. They would be dealing with the emotion of loss. Think about that while they're sitting in the ark and they're out there. They're all gone. I don't hear any more voices. There's nobody left. They're sitting in the ark for the 1 year and they're having to start planning their future. What are we going to do next? And sometimes after they got off that ark, they're going to have to just have the goal of surviving just today. And Mrs. Noah, she's going to have to steady the family. She's going to have to be part of all of their lives and make sure that everybody stays on board and nobody jumps off the boat before it's time. Noah didn't always make the best decisions himself. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard, and when he drank some of the wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered. I have no doubt that Mrs. Noah on more than one occasion had to sit down and say, hey, we just have to stay steady. We just have to be there. So while she's being sacrificial, and while she's being strong, and while she's being steady, she ain't done yet. Because guess what? She's going to have to be supportive. Verses 26 and 28, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. This woman, while Mrs. Noah was out there, she was going to have to be supportive. And it didn't begin with her husband. She was going to have to be supportive to her God. She would have to accept the fact that her life and her world was about to be destroyed. Now, ladies, you can probably get with this program a lot better and understand this, because that means her father, her mother, her sisters, her brothers, her aunts, her uncles, and possibly even kids and grandkids that she had before Ham, Shem, and Japheth, when they got off that ark, they were all going to be gone. I know how important families are to women, usually more so than men. Men kind of bop along, but that family structure is important to females. Mrs. Noah's got to wrap her brain around the idea that God is doing this, and when I get off this boat, they are all gone. She would have to stick to the plan even when it didn't make sense. Think about that. She's got to sit down and explain to her sons why they've got to get on this boat in a way that they can understand it. And while she's doing it, she's going to make it understandable for herself. If God came to me and said, Barry, it's going to end in 30 days, I couldn't wrap my brain around that. That's too much information for me. This woman's trying to hold it all together, support her God, while she's supporting her husband. Think about Noah's days. He comes home. Nobody's listening to the message anymore. Don't they get it? The clock's running out. Nobody is listening to me. You don't think he came home some days frustrated? Yeah, right. And you don't think that Mrs. Noah had to hear all about the frustrations of the day? Yeah, you guys know how this works. There's food to gather. There's logistics to handle. The project is going behind schedule. All of it is coming home, and she's going to have to listen to all of it. This woman is going to have to be cheerleader, encourager, sounding board, and possibly at some point, the solution provider. This is a 100-year project, folks. She isn't just sitting there for 100 years and say, hey, Noah, you just let me know when you're all done and I'll walk onto the boat at that point. She's going to have to support her family and her husband at every step. Meanwhile, don't forget, we got the kids to deal with, because her kids are growing up. They have questions about life. Dad is sort of busy, right? boat to build, animals to take care of, things to coordinate. Mom. You get what it sounds like, right? They're getting married. That means weddings. That means things that are happening. Mom is going to have to be guiding her kids the entire step of the way. Because if she doesn't get on that boat, do you really think those boys are going? Probably not. She has to support her kids. And remember, they're getting married. So you know that now she's got something else she's going to have to support. Now they got to support the daughters-in-law. And I think this one sometimes gets very undersold. Yes, these girls were possibly somehow related to them, but I really want you to think about this. These girls were going to come out of the ark, and the only experienced mom is going to be Mrs. Noah. How many questions do you think she's going to have to answer? Which end do you put that diaper on? What do I do when this happens? They have a fever. Do I have to worry about that? Oh my gosh, they're not eating what they're supposed to. Have you seen the way these kids behave? All of it is going to come right to her doorstep because she's going to have to support her son's wives as they're going along. They're going to have marriage struggles, and the only older female to talk about when you're having a bad day with your hubby is going to be her because all the rest of them are gone. And remember, now you have to go to your mother-in-law and talk about her son. Okay, if you've ever had to do that, this is not a fun experience. But she's going to have to swallow it all and take these ladies in, not as just their mother-in-law. Now she's adopted three daughters to go along with it. Because she's all they got as far as an experienced female in the world. For the most part, Mrs. Noah is about to become Eve 2.0. She's going to have to do it all. She's going to have to support husband. She's going to have to support God and his plan. She's going to have to support her kids. She's going to have to support her daughter-in-laws. And you realize what that means, right? Oh, there's another word that she's going to have to take on board. And it's a word that I think it should only be spelled with four letters these days, but it is not. Because in the middle of all of this, she's going to have to be submissive. Many women do noble things. But you surpass all of them. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We don't like this word because a lot of times we don't preach it correctly. The word means ready to conform to authority or will of others, meekly obedient. And that's the reason who she is honoring and who she is supporting is important, because the first person she had to be submissive to is God. She had to be the person to show what it meant to follow God as a female. And she's the only one that's out there that's going to be doing it at this point. You know what? How much of her life does Mrs. Noah have to put on hold because of a 100-year mission? We never hear about what her ambitions were outside of being a wife and a mom. What was her career path supposed to be? What did she want her life to do? God came knocking on her door and said, I have a job for your husband. And you know what? Some things in your life are going to have to change to do this job. You've got more kids on the way. Remember, she's 500 years old when these boys come along. You can appreciate that one, right? 500 years with newborn babies. See, there's hope for everybody to have kids eventually. I don't think anybody here is 500 yet. At least if you aren't, will you let me know? She's going to be there time after time, and time after time. She's going to have to put her life on hold, not just for her family, for this ministry that God has given. That is submission, folks. And you know what? I got a feeling on more than one occasion as she sat down there, she's like, God, this ain't exactly what I had in mind when I said I did. There are just things that are just way too hard. And as the years went by, I am sure she had her doubts and her questions and her fears. But this is where the other verses that I read you about Mrs. Noah are important. Because it was when it was time, she entered the ark. She didn't do it kicking and screaming. She walks. Noah didn't have to get a rope and tie her up and say, "You're coming whether you want to or not." And up the ark, up he went. She walked. She led. This is who she was. She did not look back, O Mrs. Lot. She moved forward. As she walked up that ark and she walked up that ramp, her focus was on where she was going, not where she had been. I understand, God. I want my family to be on board with this project, and for me, them to be on board, guess what? I have to be on board. I can't just send my sons up the ramp. I got to come too. She rode that storm with her family. She was on the ark. She was there when the boat was tossing. She was there when the arguments were brewing. She rode it with her family. Because loud and clear, this woman, she answered the call. God came a calling on her life and said, "This is going to change your life forever." And you know what? She answered the call. When God called them out of the ark, here she came. Down the ramp, brand new world, no support system, no nothing. And she turns around and she looks, "Here's my family." You want to know who Mrs. Noah was? Mrs. Noah was a lady that was sacrificial, strong, steady, supportive, and submissive. I think it's very appropriate that we never know what she looks like. Was she a pretty woman? Doesn't matter. It never tells us, did she have a particular skill set? It doesn't matter. She only needed one skill set. She was mom. And she was the mother to her family.